found in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be happy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the work of God, the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. And Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hair, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you.
Thank you, Nora. And thanks, Brad. We get these messages that come to us from several different directions, and I think that's really helpful to get to think about them in slightly different ways. Well, as Jeremy said earlier today, we're wrapping up our series on timeless truth, and we've been focusing over the last 3 weeks on God's word to us across the seasons of our life, of our lives. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about God's word to us when we're younger, in our younger years. Last week, God's word to us in our middle years, and today I want to focus on God's word to us in our older years, although the way I'm going to approach this is such that I hope that anybody who's younger than the older years is going to benefit as well. My focus this morning is really thinking about people who are 70 and older. Last week we were looking at the middle years of 40s, 50s, 60s. Today, people who are 70 and older. But as I said, I want to talk about it in a way that I think we'll all benefit from it. Some time ago, I heard about three sisters who were in their 90s who lived together. These three sisters were 92, 94, and 96. And one evening, the oldest of the three of them drew a bath for herself. And she, as she put her foot in the bath, she stopped and she called out to her sisters and she said, "Am I getting in or am I getting out?" And her middle sister said, "Well, just a minute. I'll come. I don't know, but I'll come and see." And she started up the stairs and then she stopped and she called out to her sisters and said, "Was I going up or was I going down?" And the youngest of the three was sitting in the kitchen having a cup of tea at the kitchen table, and she was listening to her older sisters with a smile on her face and thinking, "I hope I never get to be that forgetful." And she just knocked on the wooden table for good measure. And then she called out to her sisters and she said, "I'll come and help you as soon as I see who's at the door." Before I told you that story, I had to check, and I don't think any of our folks who are over 90 are actually here in worship with us regularly. So all in good humor, I hope. I did once hear also, I read this week about someone said that there are only three stages in life. There's youth, and then there's adulthood, and there's, "My, you're looking well." And when people start saying that to you, you know which one, which age stage you're in. Well, one of the things we've been saying each week in this series is that across all of the decades of our lives, the seasons of our lives, and we sang it again this morning, that God does not change. That God does not change. God's mission in the world doesn't change. The things that God is up to, the things that God is accomplishing in the world don't change. And God's call to us doesn't change. The things that God calls us to love and obey him and to love and serve each other, to surrender our lives to Christ and to live that out in our everyday lives, those things don't change. And so many of the, hopefully most of the teaching that you hear through our congregation is clear that these teachings strike you. They mean a slightly different thing depending on the season of your life, but God doesn't change and God's call to us doesn't change across the years. But what does change is our perspective. What does change is the kind of questions that we ask, the kinds of issues that we're wrestling with, the kinds of things that we're searching for answers about, the way we serve other people. We change. Hopefully we're growing, as we've talked in a few weeks ago. Hopefully we're growing up in Christ. We're becoming more mature. And hopefully our understanding of God deepens, but God himself does not change. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at this scripture with you from Titus 2, and then I want to talk a little bit about the experience of being over 70. And in this third section, I want us to hear from advice from people who are over 70. Advice for people in that age range, but also advice for younger people. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to begin by looking at the scripture briefly from Titus 2. We've been in this for the last 3 weeks. We've been looking at Paul's letter to Titus, especially this chapter, and reminding ourselves that he's writing to a pastor. Titus is a pastor who's leading and caring for God's people, the followers of Jesus, on the island that we know as the Greek island of Crete. So interestingly enough, in there, the first verses 2 and 3 are specifically addressed to older, or talk about older men and older women. So he says, teach the older men to be four things. He says, teach them to be temperate. Temperate means to be level-headed, to be wise, to be measured in how you approach the things of your life. Teach the older men to be temperate. Teach them to be worthy of respect, he says, to be men who are dignified, who are easy to respect, and it's appropriate that they're worthy of respect. Teach them to be self-controlled. I think it's interesting that this is still a point of emphasis, even with older men and older women, that Titus is being encouraged to teach them to be self-controlled. And then finally, to be sound in faith, in love, and endurance. And the idea here is to be sound in something is to be proven through testing. So to demonstrate through the course of your life that your faith has been proven through testing, that your love for God, your love for other people has held up in the face of testing, and that in the face of testing you have been able to endure in the faith and in faithfulness. In verse 3, Paul urges Titus to teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, to be respectable people, to live reverently, I think, means to live in a way that honors God, to live your life in a way that honors God. Teach them not to be slanderers, not to be given to gossip, not to be tearing other people down, not to be overly interested in the harm that's come to other people. Did you hear about that? Did you know that this happened? Not to be slanderers. Teach the older women not to be addicted to much wine. Another way to think about temperance, to be measured or level-headed and not addicted to a substance like wine. And teach them to teach what is good. Help them, encourage them to teach what is good. You know, I think these four things for older men, these four things for older women, I hope in some ways what Titus is doing is reminding them of these things and that these aren't new ideas for people in their later years. Because these are the kinds of things that you grow into, that you mature into over time. We might paraphrase these instructions in verses 2 and 3 to something like, teach older men and women to allow their life experiences to soften their hearts, to teach them wisdom and humility, and to convince them, help them to see their life experience in a way that convinces them of the joy and the importance of living in a way that honors God, living reverently, or living in a way that's worthy of respect. If you're over 70 this morning and you're hearing this sermon, I would encourage you to consider meditating on verses 2 and 3. to think about these eight things and to say, how am I doing in these things? How has God developed these things in my life? And how might God want to do that even more? Paul also says here in Titus that Titus's role as the pastor is to teach, to encourage, and to be an example. To teach and encourage and be an example. He uses the word teach four times. In verses 1, 2, and 3, he says teach, teach, teach. And then in verse 7, he refers to your teaching. Let your teaching be of a certain sort. He talks about encouraging younger people, especially in verses 4 and 6. He says encourage younger men, encourage younger women in these ways. And then finally in verse 7, he says be an example to them in all of these things that you're teaching and you're encouraging them to do. So he's defining the role of a pastor for a faith community like ours is to teach, to encourage, and to be an example. But I think as you grow older, this becomes your assignment as well. And so I think one of the things that's maybe helpful for you to think about this morning, especially if you're in the later years of life, is for whom are you a teacher? Who are you in a position to be teaching right now? Which younger people are you in a position to be encouraging? Who are you encouraging to live, to grow into these things, to see the life of God emerging in them? And who are you being an example for? As I think about that, it reminds me of my own grandmother, who lived to be 82. I don't remember a lot of, she was a kind of a quiet person, so I don't remember a lot of specific teaching from her or encouragement other than in general ways. But I do remember her example. And I think of her often when I think of the idea of a person as an example comes to mind. I think of her often. I remember who she was and the kind of person she was, the way she lived. She was a somewhat quiet person. She was a steady person. Just kind of like Max's grandma, I guess. Or like his grandpa. But she was a steady person. She lived a fairly peaceable life. But you know what? She got up every morning and she embraced her responsibilities for that day, and she lived out her life in a very steady way. She was a warm person without being, you know, overdone. She was just a warm, steady person. And I remember her with a lot of affection. So as I said, I'd encourage you, especially if you're in your older years, to be someone who's thinking serious about teaching, encouraging, and being an example. However, also remember that you don't have to wait till you're 70 to begin doing this. Even if you're a teenager, there are people younger than you are. If you're in your 20s, there are people younger than you are that are watching your example, that you can be encouraging younger people to live faithfully for Jesus in the season of life that they're in. So I would encourage you to begin wherever you are, whatever age you are, to be thinking about who it is that you can be teaching, encouraging, and being an example of godly living. So that's the scripture passage from Titus 2. I'm going to talk a little bit about the experience of being over 70. And I have to quote from some other people because I'm not quite there yet myself, although to those of you who are a lot younger than me, I might look like I'm over 70, but I'm not. In his sermon from this text, Pastor Joey Nelson says, especially if you're over 70, you've seen enough of the ups and downs of life that you're not a frivolous or flippant person, even if you ever were, if you ever were. And you've been knocked down enough times that you no longer think of yourself as invincible in the way younger people do. Younger people tend to think that nothing is really going to harm them. Like Max, you know, nothing is actually going to happen to me. I'm going to be able to weather this, whatever it is. But by the time you're over 70, you probably have let go of that notion that nothing can harm you, nothing can truly hurt you. Many of you have buried your parents or brothers or sisters. Some of you have been widowed or you've walked through serious health challenges along the way. Some of you have seen children turn away from everything that you see as important in life. Or you've seen your children walk through hardships and heartaches that have hurt you almost more than your own hurts and heartaches. You've learned that watching them suffer hurts even more than things that happen to you. If you're over 70, you've also probably weathered the joys and the sorrows of your work situations. And you've weathered the joys and sorrows of being in a congregation if you've been a part of a congregation for a period of time. But if that's true for you, I hope you have let those life experiences soften your heart. to have more compassion for other people in their struggles and in their hardships. I hope that you've let those life experiences teach you wisdom and humility. And I hope you've seen the wisdom, that you've seen the joy and the importance of living your life in a way that honors God because of how you've weathered your life experiences. You know, gerontologists are people who study the aging process, academics who study, researchers who study the aging process. They tell us that older people tend to follow one of two paths as they age. And one path, one group of people tends to be preoccupied with what they can't do, with their limitations and the losses of this season of life. They tend to be focused on the regrets from the past, and they tend to be focused on their disappointments with how their bodies look or feel or what they can do. They worry that they no longer measure up or that they're in a season where they've become useless. Some people who feel this way work hard to look or to seem impressive, to cover up or to make up for their feelings of not measuring up anymore. And they can become obsessed or overly focused on who does or who does not care about them. That's one path that some older people take. Other older people, however, have focused more on what they can do. And they've learned that life is about more than what your physical body can do. They've learned that their worth and their value isn't determined by their achievements. And that rather than worrying about their limitations, they're more focused on their strengths and on what they can do. And they enjoy what's still possible and are looking for opportunities to serve and care for other people. And these are the folks who, when you talk to them in older years, say, "I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot to be thankful for. This is a rich season of my life." One author I read recently said, "When you can let go of your own need for everything to be as you want it to be, when you can let go of your own need to succeed, then you can then encourage the journeys and the successes of younger people. When you no longer need to be center stage yourself, you can cheer on younger people from the sidelines." Goes on to say, children can feel secure in the presence of their grandparents because while their parents are still rushing through their lives and grappling with the urgency of the moment, grandma and grandpa are often and helpfully moving at a more relaxed pace. They're hopefully more patient with problems, with inconsistencies, and with contradictions after a lifetime of learning that no season lasts forever and none of the seasons is final. As you move into your 70s, most people have less physical and emotional energy than they used to. It gives you a chance to become more selective in what you do. You can choose a smaller set of things to focus on and how you spend your time. It's a good season of life to write down your life experiences, your memories, or your advice for your family or friends if you haven't already done that. And it's also a good time to volunteer. Many people are moving into retirement in those years and have more time available, more work energy and more work time. Volunteering here in church or in your family or in a local organization. I wrote down a number of things I know that some of you are doing, and it's not a complete list, but I know that many of you volunteer in this season of life, volunteer locally here with the Gift and Thrift Store or other organizations like that. Some of you are hosting people in your home for meals. Others are visiting people who are older than you are or maybe your age peers. Some of you are mentoring people who are younger than you. You have specific people that you're meeting with on a regular basis. You may be volunteering, as I said, here at church or elsewhere. Some of you are sending cards to people on their birthday to let them know that they haven't been forgotten. And I know that many of you pray faithfully for your families, for our congregation. You pray for the spread of the gospel, for the coming of God's kingdom. What a wonderful and rich time of life and contribution you make in that way in this season. One author says that as you move into your 80s and into your 90s, those feel like, he uses the word slippery to describe your 80s especially. He says, your 80s can feel like you were living on black ice because anything can go badly wrong in an instant and you probably won't know why. Some of you know what that's like or have had that feeling. One of the challenges of these later years in your 80s and 90s is that more of your friends are dying. And so you're going to more funerals, and the people who share your memories of how things used to be are fewer and fewer. And so loneliness can set in as fewer people understand your perspective and the journey that has shaped you. A number of people move into widowhood in these years, which is a whole new challenge. And I think my experience in talking with people is that surprises you no matter what age it happens, that you become a widow. The other thing, however, that stands out, and this came up in conversations I had this week with people who were over 90, was that the hope of heaven becomes more and more precious. The hope of heaven becomes more and more precious, especially as you look forward to seeing your loved ones and your family who have passed on before you. So that's some of the experience of being in your 70s, 80s, and 90s. I wanted to move on to some advice from people who are in those ages, in those decades. Since I'm not yet over 70, I ask several people in our congregation who are in their 70s what they would want to say, what advice they would give, what proverbs they have for people, their age peers. What would you say to other people in their 70s? And then what would you say to younger people from your perspective? And as I read some of these for you, no matter what your age is, I want to invite you to listen to the things that our older people said to see if there's an invitation from God in here for you. Listen to their replies to see what God's invitation might be for you right now. So, several people in their 70s. Here's what one person said. Accept the mistakes you've... This is to their peers, to other people who are in their 70s. Accept the mistakes you've made in your life. Move on by accepting the love and the forgiveness that God has provided for you. Keep a positive attitude. Accept people and things as they are. Don't dwell on how you think things should be. Another person said, pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. We may be secure in our faith in our 70s. We may have come a long way, but now is not the time to grow lax in our journey of following. Pursue Jesus relentlessly. Your family and your friends are watching your example. Another person said, continue to serve the Lord through your church and through other Christian organizations. You have the time and the skills to serve in this season. And as to what they would say to younger people, here are some things that they would say to younger people. One person said, stay connected to God's word and to fellow Christians. These will guide you and help you through difficult times. Another person said, pursue Jesus. There is no other answer to life's questions or challenges that will be adequate to meet your heart's cry. So pursue Jesus, study his word, and like the young disciple John, rest on him, hear his heartbeat, and live in his love. Another person said, in your younger years, you choose which paths to take. It's now time to figure out why you said yes to one path and why you said no to another. Knowing God's love and forgiveness will influence those choices. And understanding God's love and forgiveness will help you to deal with the choices you've made. Read God's word regularly. Learn to be content. Only God can meet your needs. And this person also said, remember that Eve had everything she needed but was not content and sinned. And finally, decisions made in haste are often regretted. The decisions that you make quickly are often the kinds of decisions that you end up regretting. They asked the same question of several folks who were over 80. I said, what would you say to other people who are over 80? And then what would you say to younger people? To their age peers, one person said, on the one hand, it seems that our lives have been a long journey by the time we're in our 80s. On the other hand, I'm amazed at how rapidly the time has passed. Probably no matter how old you are, you would already say that, right? You say, no matter how old you are today, you would probably say, I can't believe how quickly I got to this age. That's still happening when you're in your 80s. Knowing Jesus personally has definitely been a rock, a refuge, and a source of strength across all those years for me. Enjoy your family. Enjoy good humor. And cultivate close friendships. That continues to be a joy and a strength for me. This person also mentioned Hebrews 10:14 as a promise that they hold on to. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. In your 80s, being aware that you are still being made holy and grateful that in our Lord Jesus, in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, we are counted as perfect forever. Another person said to their age peers in their 80s, stay active physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Take advantage of the opportunities that there are that exist for senior citizens. There are so many ways to continue enjoying lifelong learning and spending time with other people. And don't hesitate to ask for help with your unexpected needs, because both you and your helper will be blessed if you let them help you. And finally, I asked several of them what they would say to younger people, folks in their 80s giving counsel and advice to younger people. One person said, don't let your passion for a career or for your job control your life. Use your God-given gifts to love God and to love and serve others, even in your younger years. And another person says, there are many things to pursue in life, but the sooner you get serious about your spiritual journey and a close personal relationship with the person who loves you more than anyone could ever love you, the more fulfilled and content you will be. Serving our precious Lord and his people is a satisfying journey. Beyond that, take time to pursue hobbies, to enjoy family and friends, and to busy your life with serving other people. One person said, Bible reading has become more important to me as I get older. I didn't do this when I was younger, and now I wish I had. So we've looked at the scripture and counsels for older men and older women. We've talked about the experience of being in this age range, these years of life, and we've talked about some advice, some proverbs from some of our older adults. I'm going to leave you with an encouragement. If you're over 70 this morning, the encouragement from Isaiah that Nora read for us a few moments ago. I leave them with you as a word of encouragement. They were written initially to, God is speaking to his children who are in exile. They've been forcibly removed from Jerusalem and they're now in Babylon. And he says, listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Well, you know that in Jesus, we have all become the descendants of Jacob. We've become part of the remnant of Israel. He goes on to say in verse 4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am the Lord. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And no matter what your age this morning, as we sing this song of reflection and response this morning, I want you to think about all of the different advice that I read through this morning, the proverbs from our older folks, and ask yourself, what did you sense was God's invitation to you right now? Was there something in there that stood out to you, a phrase or a piece of advice that stood out to you as God's invitation to you right now? And no matter what your age, I hope you have allowed, that you are currently allowing and will continue to allow your life circumstances to soften your heart, to give you compassion for the struggles and the brokenness in other people's lives. That you will allow your life experience to teach you wisdom and humility. And that in reflecting on your life experience, you'll be convinced of the joy and of the importance of living your life in such a way that it honors God, that brings honor to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your faithfulness as we've been singing this morning. The reminder that you don't change, that your nature, your character, your purposes do not change throughout the ages. Even as we change and even as we see life differently, we understand you more fully. We understand our lives and the people around us more fully. Lord, I pray that you would continue your work in our lives, that you would continue your call to us, continue to lead us in ways that you want us to obey you today, tomorrow, and in the week to come. Lord, make clear to us what our next step is that you have for us, the invitation that you have for us, and then give us the courage to keep in step with you, to keep in step with your prompting. We thank you for your love and your grace and your faithfulness that endures through all the seasons of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.